My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe. He's a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. What we'll be talking about for the next few minutes is his outrage that same-sex marriage ceremonies are occurring on U.S. military bases, despite the fact that federal law says marriage is only between one man and one woman. This is obviously a fallout of the change in policy on gays serving in the military. We should also mention that Mr. Inhofe is also the author of the recent book, The Greatest Hoax, which is related to the global warming issue. And, Senator, it's always good to have you with us. What exactly is going on in these military bases? How did this start following the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
First of all, it's nice to be back with you. I'm glad there are people like you around. It all started with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, I'm one of them that way back in 98 that I thought that President Clinton at that time was wrong. I didn't think that his Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy would work. But you know, it did work. And it worked for a long time. And then in 2010, under the pressure of Obama, the Armed Services Committee repealed that portion of the law. We still have the Defense of Marriage Act, defining marriage as the legal union of a man and a woman and all that. But we find out now that in 2012, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, the DOMA was unconstitutional. Then the chaplains, and there was one rear admiral that was wanting that policy to take place. So we're right now in kind of a gray area, in my opinion, Greg. I'm not a lawyer, but I do know that the law is very clear in what it says in terms of it being between a man and a woman. The problem is this. We have a lot of chaplains, and a lot of them are that are active duty chaplains in all military, primarily the Navy, who are on record saying that they refuse to perform these services because it's contrary to their moral principles and religious beliefs. So there are some of them who have been able to not do this. In some areas, they are having to do this. So it's an area that needs to be addressed. Now, this is what I think. I always, when I'm dealing with something that I feel we lost the battle on, and we did lose the battle on this, that we have major changes that are going to take place after this next election. I'm convinced that Republicans will be in control of the United States Senate and that we'll get the White House, in which case this can be changed. Back when this law was changed, it was during the Defense Authorization Bill, and it was right down party lines to be able to perform abortions in federal military facilities. And the other was in order to try to facilitate the gay marriages in the military.
Senator, what do you know about pressure on the chaplains? Are they being pressured to perform these ceremonies despite the fact that they are against them as a result of their Christian beliefs?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, their careers are on the line. You won't find any active chaplains who will tell you the truth about this because you know what will happen to them if they do. But you get the retired chaplains without, I don't know of one exception that isn't outraged by this and saying that the government can't come along and dictate the moral principles that they have always had, and both before their current career and up to the present time. So that's taking place right now, Greg.
So you and Senator Wicker of Mississippi have presented legislation on this front. What exactly would it do?
All right. It's your friends can write this down, S, as in Senate, 3526, the Military Religious Freedom Protection Act of 2012. Essentially, what this does is it stipulates and states specifically that chaplains shall not be ordered or required to perform any ceremony that is contrary to the moral principles or of religious beliefs of the chaplain's faith group. And it further says that property under the jurisdiction of DOD shall not be used to perform a marriage or involving anything other than the union of one man and one woman. So it's a very simple act. And as I say, there's no way, even during this lame duck session, I think your listeners are probably familiar with that, that allows the members of the Senate who are defeated or will be defeated on the 6th of November to still vote. So nothing like this is going to come up because they would still be opposed to it. However, starting in January, we will have this legislation and we'll be very actively pursuing it with as much help as we can get from talk radio and our other friends.
Senator, who is ordering the chaplains, or at least strongly recommending, with punishment possibly if they don't comply, with doing this? Is it higher uniform people? Is it the civilian folks at the Pentagon?
Oh, no, it's the president. You see, people seem to forget. I keep hearing Democrats say, well, this isn't what the Pentagon wants. The Pentagon answers to the commander-in-chief. The commander-in-chief is the president of the United States. So he's the one responsible. It's kind of like this issue that's going out there right now in Benghazi as to, who is really responsible. Well, it ends up the president, and he's the one that is making the decisions. And there are some uniformed, high-ranking uniformed officers who, for the sake of their careers, will go along with anything that the president says. This was very obvious back when they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because we had military generals who knew that they wanted to reach the peak of their career during the Obama administration, that they'd have to go along with this, and so they did. So that's where it is. It's clearly the president.
Well, you mentioned some of the uniformed military personnel. There's been a lot of criticism specifically. Some was aimed at Chairman Mullen at the time that he was there, and now it's aimed at General Dempsey, not only for this, but also for pressuring the filmmaker of the YouTube video who was allegedly responsible for the riots in the Middle East and some other issues. So what do you say about his leadership?
You have to keep in mind, and I was in the military, and those in the military recognize that they have to follow the protocol that's been in place for as long as we've had the country of America. That is, the commander-in-chief is the boss. And so the only decision that several chaplains have, when they've refused to do this, I don't know how many, I can't quantify it, but have said, fine, that's the end of my career, and have taken that, made that decision. But so long as you are in the military, you answer to the commander-in-chief. Now, what I'd prefer is for these generals and high-ranking officials to say publicly what they really feel and have the courage to do that, and then go ahead and do what the president, what they're commanded to do. Let's take another thing. Look at the Law of the Sea Treaty. Greg, you're familiar with that, and probably some of your listeners are too. That was the Law of the Sea Treaty that would give a multinational group, in this case the United Nations, for the first time in the history of America, the right to tax the United States of America. And this is something I've been fighting for a long time. We're successful in blocking it. A lot of Republicans are for it, but it's something that's wrong. Well, at a hearing not long ago, we had all of the several generals lined up, and they're all saying that they are for this, when in fact I know that they are not. So that's the problem that we have when we're dealing with the military. We recognize that they have to respond to the commander-in-chief.
Senator,
the best way to change that is to change the commander-in-chief, and that's what we plan to do.
Senator, assuming you get the majority in the upcoming election, it's pretty likely that you won't get to 60, but will you need 60 votes to move this forward?
Well, here's the – the reason I say I believe, and I would be glad to give you in confidence the breakdown, I think we're going to end up taking over control of the Senate plus two votes. It could be one, but I think it's going to be two votes. Well, as you see, that would get you up to maybe 53 or 54 votes, not to the point where you have you could override a veto. Here's the problem that the Democrats have. All of those Democrats who are coming up for re-election in 2014 are going to do the same as Claire McCaskill is doing right now. They're going to try to act like Republicans. And so we will start with the Republican votes that we have, and then those individuals who are up in 2014, if they are concerned about their careers, they're going to have to abandon the far left and start voting more conservatively. Now, you're talking about cloture. Cloture is 60 votes. You have to get to 60 votes. But that's where, if you have 7 or 8 of these Democrats coming up in 2014, I think we'd have their vote.
We'll certainly see what happens on November 6th, which, as you point out, will have a major impact on what happens with this legislation. Sir, thank you very much, as always, for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
You bet. Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe, member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He's the author most recently of The Greatest Hoax, which talks about the debate over global warming. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.